Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, and I'm about to speak to you of the Pontifical Council for Culture, which this year celebrates 30 years of mission. It dates back to 1982, when Blessed John Paul II decided to merge it with an earlier council, one founded by Paul VI in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council, which was dedicated in a special way to dialogue with non-believers. Currently led by its president, Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi, this council is at the service of the Universal Church, as well as of particular churches. I asked Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a former official there, to better explain the nature of its mission.
Pontifical Council for Culture has a double mission, which is actually the mission of the Church as well, which is to inculturate the gospel and to evangelize cultures. And that's always very much a plural thing. There are many cultures, and the Church has to live in many cultures and become incarnate, if you like, in many cultures, take root in all those cultures. And the word Catholic means universal in the sense of embracing many different realities, not uniformizing them. It doesn't make them all the same. There's a great thing that happened to me as a priest in a very poor parish in an industrial town between Liverpool and Manchester. Half the parish was really, really poor, extremely poor. Many of the people there had never been to church for years. You could tell by when you had to do funerals, and many were in prison, many had been in prison. Really a very unfortunate area and an unfortunate part of British society. But it was, so something very curious happened when I was doing funerals, especially for the most criminal families, as it happens. Very often the older people would say, "Father, can we have the Many Mansions reading?" And I had to think for a second or two, but luckily I have a long memory, and I remembered that the older translation of the Gospel of John referred to Jesus saying to his disciples, "Don't worry, there are many mansions in my Father's house." Meaning that in heaven there is place for many kinds of people, there is place for lots of people. Perhaps heaven may be the sort of place where you don't meet the people you don't like, but they're just round the corner and you don't know, so they don't annoy you to death, so you live happily ever after. I'm caricaturing that, but what I really take out of that gospel, and the instinct of those people was, there's room for me too. In a society that had told them they didn't matter very much, they felt that for God, they did matter. And I think that's very much the picture when we speak of different cultures in the world as regards the gospel and the work of evangelization. There is room for every culture. The Church has great difficulty in reaching certain cultures. For example, in Asia, a lot of bishops' conferences, when they came on their 5-yearly visits to the Pope, and also visited us in the Council for Culture, they gave us the clear message that they were regarded as a European import to their country and their culture. Well, actually, Christianity was born in Asia. I think, you know, some people have done their geography wrong. Although maybe what people meant was Christianity has become dominated by its European centre, either in Istanbul or Moscow or Rome. But I think what's important is that the gospel can speak to every culture. It doesn't make every culture the same, but it has a value for every culture, and that's the great challenge for the missionary and the evangelist. If we try to take our own culture with us when we bring the gospel, that's a big mistake. And that was already noticed by the official church in the 17th century. There are some remarkable documents from those days showing the awareness of some missionaries and some of the authorities in Rome that one must respect the people to whom one brings the gospel, and not destroy what one finds, but see how to speak to them in their culture, to find ways of communicating the wonderful treasure that is in the gospel without doing violence to any culture. The past has enough examples of that, and from the 15th, 16th centuries on, I think there's been great wisdom in the church. Sometimes it's been forgotten, but it has been there and growing and is more a part of the scene now, where we try not to do down the culture to which we hope the gospel will speak, and sometimes even learn from those cultures new ways of expressing the gospel without changing the message. It's just a new way of communicating.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a former official at the Pontifical Council for Culture. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.